I grew up in a boisterous, bubbling home, an older sister and a younger brother. My beloved older sis had a bent for the dramatics, shall we say. She even officially channeled and beautifully worked that in high school as part of the drama club. While I was running the soccer field and running the field hockey field and running student government, she was 2 years ahead of me, singing and dancing her way across the stage in drama productions. And Jen claimed some fire growing up as well. Some of us definitely have a little edge of rage naturally wired into us, all of us, but for some, that part that just gots to get out. And for Jen, the most loving, passionate soul on the planet, with that big heart, the fire that comes, sometimes means some heat comes along with it, right? And the real deal, love. So some fireworks above me, 2 years between each of us, and, well, some fireworks below me. My younger brother, my first love, adopted at age 9 months, maybe at the time my two-year-old self thought Ross was just for me, mine, all mine, my playmate. Over time, Ross certainly had his share of the dramatics and theatrics as well, because he was just given a much harder start on his road in life from those first 9 months in nine different foster homes before he came to make our family shine. So Ross came in some ways to act out some of this stuff, rebellions and feuds and anger and antics, and slowly, bravely identified some learning difficulties and school challenges, but got it all worked out, pumped out, blurted out, including no shortage of various institutions, but always the will to purge that which would be in the way of his health and thriving. And now I rejoice that we get to be constant confidants as we compare notes on the joys of parenting our preschoolers together at our advanced ages in life. So that leaves for another day the full story of this middle child, lucky wonder who got to have all this fun going on above and below me, all around me. And needless to say, I had no problem with the bustle in community since it's just in my bones. I was so blessed to grow up with a great extended family with so much of the rough and tumble, with cousins, all manner of cousins, and time with aunts and uncles and grandparents, copious time with grandparents, amazing grandparents, thank God. So my call in life to be this minister mom of the gorgeous boy you have been helping Mike and I raise for 5 years now, Leo, and also to be the wife of a minister, suffice it to say, I have been wondering where the boisterous crew is, where are Leo's siblings, and where the party is. Where's the rigmarole, goofball, gazebo? Where are the scratch-up sibling fights and shouts? And where are Leo's sisters and brothers? And as Leo came and grew, it was instant. I quickly became pretty darn inspired in this calling to parent in a community of friends and church upon church, and inspired as a young parent to be ready to grow our family the second that Leo became a toddler. But here enter these tricky leagues from our gospel today, the difference between want and need, the difference between desire and calling, the difference between bargains and covenants. Now, do not go after him. You must promise. For Mike did not share my clarity, my call, my complete readiness for a second child, and Mike had dreams of other fields. And so let me tell you about a different kind of fireworks. Yes, the up till night, you're ruining my life kind of fireworks in a household that every partnership crosses at some holy, harrowing point. The journey gets long and the road becomes seemingly endless. The grief becomes unbearable, and we are cracked open to the point where we can't possibly carry the weight alone or even ask our God. But we come to one another in friendship, and we come to find the like minds and hearts who can hear each other. We show each other that we don't walk alone, that Christian community is formed in the crucible. And somehow, slowly, we have to turn toward the sun, and we ask for help, for healing, for relief, for a new direction. And sometimes we find it right in front of us, and there is an astounding hope right in what's here, what's already breathing and smiling and bending toward the light, right in what is racing off across the green, bursting with joy, full of God's love and light. And it's then this turning point where there comes the strange time, the strange experience of gratitude, of it beginning to flow, not forced, but sincerely, where we are broken down from the wrestling, smoothed out from the struggle, and we start finding the cure, not even knowing. We start slowly filling with the thanks for the things that we have, where we discover that underneath all the want, the things we need are available and good and wholesome and here, that God was with us, that God was offering what we need, that God is good and generous and just and astoundingly gracious, that God is abundant and present right before us. Our Gospel of Matthew today draws us right into this want versus need, the confusion of those who grumble and question, think that they know fair, and ask for what they see as just, who worked all day in the scorching sun. But then, there are those who literally suffer, who stand at the Lowe's corner in all anxiety all day long, who knew every passing truck that did not stop, who knew that even if they finally got picked up, that day's denarius would only cover that one day's meal for the family. So this is how we enter the story that Hunter read. This is how we hear. We come along, not the landowner who is so easy to align with, the God who doles out rightly. No, we come along with those who wait in this story, with those who hunger and wonder, those who wonder of all types, those who hunger at the margins, in their every ache, those yearning in all places. We come along with those who are flooded, with those who are hurt, a long time, waiting, hanging on, with those who grieve, with those who mourn today, those feeling broken, and those literally broken. And we come alongside knowing that is exactly whom our God needs, whom our God calls forth, you whom our God loves, you whom our God adores, you for whom our God will provide. This story is confusing as parables go. We hear of those who worked, who were picked up. Oh, why didn't the landowner pick up everyone at once? We don't know. That's not the point. Why again and again, three times coming back, picking up more? Finally, at the end of this day of labor, paying those first who only worked perhaps an hour, the full freight, and those who labored all day long. Astounded. At first, hopeful. Oh, good, we'll get extra. No. This story invites us this week, pick it up again when you're having one of those moments and read along with those who are waiting. So as we close and we're moving towards singing this out, our hymns praise for this reason. We say thank you, God, when we lift our praise, when we share our thanks, when we mean it, when it is hard fought, when we really and truly begin to feel it. For yes, as we show gratitude, it is we who are softened. When we share our thanks, when we practice faith by pushing ourselves to say that for which we are blessed, when that gratitude starts to make us whole again, make us humble again, make us see differences between our want and our need, when we begin to be brought forth by the God who loves us most when we are far afield, when we are out to pasture, when we are hurting too much, when we need a lifeline, when we need to know, when we need to work, when we need to be paid. Yes, we do also have to fake it till we make it. Yes, we do. But then we wake up watching how gratitude has become real. It's flowing forth for real again. It's the real deal. That humble, grateful, thankful, praising God, thank you. So just for the record, don't get me wrong, if there were ever your three corn balls on the planet, it's quite possible to have a circus of three. Believe me, Mike and Leo and I could apply. Yes, there is plenty of the trumpets blaring, plenty tomfoolery, plenty shenanigans and goofball galore among our family of three, as we have come to call it and claim it. But there are not sisters or brothers, and we don't see siblings for Leo. But it's been an amazing walk to build our family of friends so Leo can have his close as cousins kind of buddies that make life worth living and laughing. And every moment as we go forth today and we are bombarded with the sea of things we all, any of us, are taught to want, and we are surrounded by the promotional of all we should be seeking, wanting. Remember, there's a fine line that we don't go over the slippery slope to blame ourselves as greedy or selfish or diminish our own real lived circumstances. This is not a way for injustices and imbalances to bash on in a system built for the elite few. Keep that caveat. For a real and grounded, hard-won recognition that we are led in faith to choose to set our gaze on the good for all that we are grateful for, that the practice of gratitude can bring us forth, And then we begin to experience the antidote for fear, to get the full day's pay, even having worked just the end. We begin to be so blessed with seeing the small wonders that make our world, that healing can begin, that those will not be left alone in need, that our God loves us, all of us, loves us beyond compare, that our God is calling us all to be disciples, that our God needs us, that our God is good, that we have the generosity of God, as in this parable, the astounding grace and generosity of God for our taking, the abundance of God, the goodness of God. May we perceive it and receive it fully.